Matt Armstrong. Matt Armstrong is one of the most prolific creators on YouTube. Automotive is his speciality, building and modifying cars, some of which look totally written off, and he's absolutely killing it. He's got 2.5 million subscribers. On average, one of his films nets 1 million viewers in just 24 hours. He works incredibly hard and all hours of the day, so it's pretty awesome to get a look behind the scenes in his house of work. Matt, thanks for having me into your gaff. This is the part of motoring that terrifies me, frankly. I don't understand how you do what you do, but it's brilliant to come and have a look around and get a bit of an insight.
Thanks for coming. It's about time we've come over. But yeah, you've actually caught me like midway through all the work. We haven't had time to clean up, so you're getting to see it like
perfect,
real. Like, this is what it normally looks like.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Because when I look in the corner and I see all this bent metal and all this stuff that's come off this car, it just fills me with dread. Because I was one of those people that would always lose a piece of the Lego set and not be able to complete anything.
Oh, yeah. You know, the beauty of this unit, I think it looks bigger on camera than it actually is in real life. But I kind of like this size because if I do put something down, we know it's like not,
you know,
too
is
far away.
So yeah, it doesn't get lost under the carpet.
Yeah, I still spend hours looking for my phone after I put it down somewhere in here. But we manage.
Yeah. So this is one you baked before. This is the Maserati, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which was a bit controversial because you widened the wheelbase. But I love this car because it's it was brilliantly made by Maserati. They did a great job with it. And then you've enhanced it.
So yeah,
wide track and some serious hench bodywork going on.
This is one of the longest cars I've kept. And you know what? Everyone hates on Maserati, like, oh, they're unreliable. But this has been like my most reliable car.
I think they're the most underrated manufacturer. I mean, it's got...
It's slow.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Why is it slow?
I think it's heavy.
Because you've added some stuff to it?
Well, like, we also took away some stuff, yeah, because there's a lot of this chopped out underneath.
Is it?
And there's a lot of arch chopped out underneath. I guess we've got bigger and wider wheels, but it is slow. It is probably the slowest car I've got. I think the Range Rover diesel beats this car.
No way.
It makes a lot of noise, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. So I remember comparing the original GT to the Alpha 8C. They're basically the same car.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't believe the sound of the Alpha was better. They tuned up the exhaust and everything.
Yeah.
But it's the worst handling car I've ever driven in my life. And yet it's the same platform as the Maserati. The Maserati was perfect.
It's okay. But hence why we've done all this wide body stuff to it. It's more of a show car now.
Yeah.
Hence all like the Valvoline wrap and everything like that. We take it to shows, doesn't really move anywhere. This kind of make it undrivable.
Does it really?
I think it's just, it's too wild. With the kit, at the minute, this is at drive height. So yeah, like when we park up at show, it'll be lowered down. But when it's lowered down, literally the side skirt is on the floor.
It's not pothole friendly.
No.
Oh, I see, this has got a lift under it.
Yeah, even at drive height now, you don't get that much clearance still off the floor. So
right,
I find myself, you still hit the speed bumps, you hit everything. So it's not the most practical car, but I didn't expect it to be after putting all this stuff on. This is wider than... as wide as a wide-body Lamborghini Aventador.
So, wow.
And they're wide anyway. So getting this through... I went in London, do you know, through one of those width restrictor things.
Yes, they're hurried, aren't they?
That was stress. Absolute stress.
New rims after that?
Yeah, pretty much. They've been refurbished, yeah. But no, we've still got more stuff to do with this. I'm going to do like a half a cage in it to make it look like a GT3 car. It's going to have like some bucket seats put in, just so it looks kind of like a race car. At the minute, it's got completely standard interior in, and if you go around a corner, you get thrown out the seat. So it's not bad. It's one of the coolest cars I've got, and it's because there's not any others looking like this, well, in UK, Europe, probably anywhere. That's why I keep it, because it's my baby. If I see anyone else driving this around, I'll be upset.
It's stunning. Really good job.
No,
and then
it's cool.
This one is your latest build, isn't it?
Yes.
Or rebuild. This car's mental. I mean, the crash it's had is comical.
Oh, yeah. This went into a wall in Peterborough.
Into a house.
Yes, into a wall and a house.
Fortunately, everyone was okay.
Front end went through a house into a living room, and the back end went into their garden wall. This is one of the most in-depth repairs I've done, structural-wise. And we actually had, you guys would see it on the video, I brought Jack over from the US, who helps Freddie out, to help me with all the structural work, because obviously you want to be sure that it's 100% sound, because we're going to be taking this around the track and everything. But this is not only The panels on the outside have been replaced. It's also had the structural work on the inside, which has been replaced, because this got hit all the way through. All this parcel shelf was all crumpled up. So it's literally been all chopped out and put back in. The old cut and shut, as everyone calls it. But it's looking pretty good. And I feel like we've done it quite fast. Sort of impressed myself, really, because it's looking really good compared to how it was. So I'm excited to get it on the road.
You're like a kind of crash site reinvestigator, aren't you? I saw that. You had your 3D animation. Oh, this is how the crash happened, and the speed, it looked like he was tanking it.
Well,
lost it.
We couldn't work out how we ended up into the house, and then we put the video out, and because so many people watch the videos, we get loads of emails and messages afterwards, and then we actually had the person who was investigating the crash, who does crash reenactment animations. They emailed me the actual reenactment of the accident and how fast they were travelling, 90 mile an hour, round a corner, and I think they let off and stamped on the brakes, which just gave it loads of oversteer, straight round, and then smashed straight into the wall. And then that kind of helped us, okay, that's what's happened. It's easier to work out as well where there's going to be damage when you know how it's been crashed. But really, for how fast it's gone into the wall, it's not as bad as it could have been.
You're turning into like a car doctor.
Yeah, it could have done so much worse.
Yeah, like the method of injury, and you've seen so many of these. Because you started this out as a hobby, you know, is that right? And you've just accumulated all this knowledge. So when you get stuck, if that's... Because there must be always something you don't know what could come up. But you go and you just reach out, you get to whatever.
Yeah, so like anything I'm like unsure of, there's always help online. There's always someone that knows. But the good thing is, it generally that it's all nuts and bolts. It's all the same. Like, it's all the same. Whether it's like a BMW, a Maserati, a Ferrari, they're all generally the same stuff. A lot of people get scared of it, and that's kind of what's built my confidence up throughout the years. I worked on, the best example was my first kind of rebuilt car was an Audi TT, Hannah's Audi TT, which she crashed. It was £400 I brought back from the insurance. I think it was, rebuilt that. And then later on down the line, I did an Audi R8. And I was like, well, this is exactly the same as the Audi TT, but it's a supercar. But I felt so familiar with everything that come off, and then that makes you realise, okay, I worked on a BMW before, and generally throughout the years, they're pretty same. They update a lot of the stuff. Electronics, that is the devil. We can leave electronics. We don't like that. But everything else tends to generally be the same sort of stuff.
Sure.
But it builds up your confidence. And then the only thing is, I want more and more and more now. What can we repair next? How worse can we get the damage?
More challenge.
Yeah.
When you get into structural stuff, so from racing cars over the years, and you get really, I don't know what's the best word for it, anal, about how it handles. They're on the setup patch all the time. They're checking corner weights. And if something's a kilogram heavier on the front right than the left, you can feel it. And if the toes aren't is, you know, spot on, and you notice something's not quite cock on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
So when you're doing big chassis stuff, that's hard. I know you've even gone to the jigs and things like this.
Oh, yeah. So this one as well, we was worried about. So again, a lot of people will think, oh, it needs to be on a jig, it needs to have measurements and everything like that. So what we'll do, obviously we'll get advice as well before we start, but throughout the years, obviously we picked up a lot of experience, but you have measurement points.
Right.
And sometimes the dealerships will give you the measurement points, but if they're not allowed to, we have to go to body shops and try and ask for favours here and there. But generally just measuring up chassis, making sure they do all line up. With this, we spoke to Jack from America, and he was, he used to be a panel beater in America, and that's what he did. So he knows, okay, this is straight, that's not straight. But generally, something like this, it's quite, we know what to look for. So for example, this has been hitting here, our main worry was if it's bananaed the whole car, you'd notice something in a roof or an A-pillar on the other side. Something wouldn't line up on the other side because it's pulled it. But generally, all on the other side, everything all lines up straight, and the roof's carbon. So if there's anything gone in this, there's not much, this is flimsy as anything. So, but everything lines up straight. And the best thing as well, after we do the builds, we normally take them to the main dealer and get them all checked over. Whether they go, like the race cars and stuff, we'll get corner weights and that type of stuff. This, it'll probably just be a four-wheel alignment, but generally you can tell if something's out, like body panels won't line up and there'd be something pretty obvious. But I guess you should drive this.
I'd love to have a go in it.
See if we can beat Ben's Hurricane in it.
Yeah.
We've got four-wheel drive in this one now.
Okay.
So,
well, he needs to be put back in his place. That's brilliant. The fact that you're using modern cars too and that the dealers kind of will check things with you,
yeah.
I think that must be reassuring. But you inspired me to get this Lancia. So, and with Tank, I was walking around with him and we were looking at roof lines and stuff like that, because the whole thing is one piece.
Yeah.
And he said, oh yeah, forget that one. You can see a ripple in the roof line.
Yeah. And
he says, once they're bent, that's it.
Oh yeah, so if you look on, we've had one car where the front wheel, it was only a small damage, but on one of the cars, the front wheel, the suspension, this is a future car which is coming up, but the suspension is completely ripped off and it's only damaged the wheel, but the wheel's gone back into like the A-pillar of the car.
Yeah.
And as it's hit the A-pillar of the car, it's just caused damage there. So it's pushed the door back, but it's also pulled the A-pillar downwards. So when you rub your hand along here, you can feel a little lump. And it's because it's just from the wheel, it's just pulled the A-pillar down. And because of that, the car was a complete write-off. Like it can't go back on the road. It's category B. But it's little things like that. And I didn't even notice that to start with. I didn't even notice that. We brought the body shop down and they had a look and then they were just feeling around. They were like, yeah, this is gone. Like, and then they felt it right. I mean, again, everything is repairable, but it's just the expense, like the McLaren. The McLaren was repairable, but we just had to re-tub the whole car, which is like...
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's effectively just getting a whole other car. But yeah, this was... Again, luckily, nothing like this on the BMW, but... Yeah, something like that you wouldn't notice. You look at the car and you see the photos, you think, oh, it's only done suspension damage, it's not that bad. The door's been pushed back a bit, but we'll get around that. Might be hinges, but yeah, it generally had just pulled the chassis that way. And yeah, there's things like that you can get stung on doing crash damaged cars and stuff, but that's all the fun of it. That's what I enjoy. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. It's a bit of a risk, a bit of a gamble, but no, I enjoy it.
Having met you a few times and you know, you're so positive and you attack everything with that with a smile, you must get stressed though, because you've got your channel, there are deadlines.
Yeah.
You've got a ton of work to do. You've kind of given up some time today, but it must get, do you get timeline stressed?
I think I get stressed. Yeah. I think there is points where we get stressed, where I'm struggling for parts and that. But again, I've never had a positive outcome from being negative about it. Every time, like, even I think maybe it rubs off from my dad as well. Like, something goes wrong, we just laugh about it. Oh no, that's happened, that's done. Like, what are we gonna get from being negative about it? We're not. Like, we might as well laugh about it, carry on, it's happened, it's not gonna change anything. And we've had way better results from just being positive about stuff than crying about it. I mean, now we're just enjoying ourselves doing it, and luckily, like with YouTube and that, we're able to film it. It's all part of the journey. But a lot of people would comment on my videos and say, oh, he doesn't care because he's making content out of it. But the thing is, I've done all this way before I was making any money on YouTube. When was rebuilding the crash damaged cars, when I had no subscribers, it was still the same thing. We had to stay positive, and we've just learned as we've gone up. So it's been the same regardless. But yeah, you can't. If it gets you down, you're never going to get anywhere with it. But it does stress you out. But at the times when you fix it, it gives you way more job satisfaction when it is finished. And that's what I enjoy about it. Like, the trophy for me is driving the car afterwards, which is that's why we only rebuild the cars I want to drive.
That's what I was going to ask you. So you're picking... Partly, there's some amazing stories. They're comical.
Yeah.
You know, like Freddie's car that was floating around with a palm tree through the roof.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You know, this one that's had its comedy sort of survival. But you're also picking stuff you want to drive, basically.
Yeah, so we'll pick some cool cars that I want to drive, that I want to buy, and then also repairs that I want to do. Now it's got to the point where it's like, okay, we've done a lot of cars, and a lot of people will ask, like, you're going to run out of cars to do. You're going to run out of cars to build. So now I want to learn as much as I can. Again, if this YouTube stuff ever all finishes and decides to just switch off tomorrow, like, I've got a skill set which I've learned through doing this. So picking like jobs like this where it's big structural damage, which I've never done before, to learn on and try myself, is then picking up a skill myself doing it. So now I'll pick a, like this one needed a rear quarter. I've never done something like that before. I've learnt how to do it, and now I feel confident of doing that again. And then we've done something like the Murcielago, which needed a full engine rebuild. We've rebuilt a V12 Murcielago. I'm sure I could rebuild a Volkswagen Golf engine now because of that. So there's skills I pick up and find interesting throughout that. I'll see the repairs and I think, yeah, I'd love to learn how to do that. And I think people like watching me learn because I think they're learning at the same time. Something I haven't done yet is a flood damaged car, and I would like to do something like that because
even though you've heard Freddie's story, he's still picking sand out of the seats.
It looks fun. But yeah, flood damaged car, I'd love to give it a go. And yeah, and just experience that. Never done flood, never done fire damaged car, so there's still a long way to go. And yeah, still a lot of things I need to learn. Yeah.
So this is a cheeky question, because there's one type of car I've not seen you do, which is electric.
Oh.
Because they're lethal, literally. You have to have a special court, you have to go to rubber gloves, all that kind of thing. You have to do it safely. And it's a beast.
Well, I just mentioned, literally about probably a minute back, electric is the devil. Anything electrical faults which happen on the car, it just feels like out of my control. It's really hard to understand why something is not working that way with electric fault. And I just can't wrap my head around it. And as I mentioned as well, the trophy at the end is me driving the car, and electric cars just don't do it for me. I think the whole... the kind of soul of the car is like the noise, the feel of it, like the cold start, and just the electric, it's not a car, it's more of a computer, and I just don't get the buzz. Like some people might, and they'll see that completely different to I do, but I've just never got the kick out of electric car. I've drove a lot of the Porsches, the Taycans and stuff, and they're fast as anything, but just something isn't there. Like that Maserati is slow, but it makes the best sound ever, and that's why I enjoy driving it. Whereas an electric car, just I can't get my head around it. And to repair one, it just doesn't feel right to me.
Off the charts.
I feel personally that they'll come and go. I can't see them lasting. I think they will. I think they're a temporary fix, and they will come and go. I can't see every single person in the country owning an electric car, and these like an iPhone. If you've got an iPhone 3 now, it barely works. It's the slowest thing ever. And as technology advances, as these electric cars advances, you've got an old electric car, it's just a disposable item at the end. Once you needed the update 5.2 on it, I think it's old, it will slow down, it's not going to work, the battery won't last as long.
Yeah.
And it's a disposable item, whereas you drive 1980 cars now and they still work as new and you still get the enjoyment you did when you first drove them. Electric cars, I'm sorry, Elon Musk, but I think it's a temporary solution at the minute.
So for you, what's the coolest car you could get hold of? I mean, I know you're always looking ahead to, and you've gone for some big bangers.
Yeah.
You mentioned 80s.
Yeah.
Which is a cool era. 80s, 90s, I think it's golden era.
Yeah, I was always... So, again, it has to work with my channel as well, but do you know old Escort Cosworths? I'd love to do one of them. But I don't know loads about them, which is what's scary, but I would love to do one. And again, it's if the audience would like it. So it's quite interesting to put a little feeler out. I might get comments under the video of, oh yeah, you should do one of them. But again, the Lamborghini Murcielago was my dream ultimate car. I never thought I'd ever own one. So I've kind of like accomplished that dream already. We rebuilt it literally from ground upwards, engine, bodywork, the whole thing. That was my ultimate dream car. And we managed to do it. And then it's like, well, now what? So if anything comes up with a story, I'd love to, again, Rolls Royces as well is always going to be one that I've always wanted to do. But there's an ongoing story on my channel that normally Rolls Royces, when they get damaged, they'll get a Category B. They won't go on the road again. And they're too expensive to repair. So it's hard to get hold of a crash damaged Rolls Royce. So I'd love to go that type of way. Again, if we can go to like hypercar region, but that's really difficult because of the value of the car. They tend to get repaired by the dealer if they ever get smashed. But we'll see. We will see. It's hard to have the balance. We try to have like a supercar balance and then like a more attainable car on the channel as well. So whatever comes up, we never know.
unattainable unicorn. Right? Yeah. What do you think is the... Because you've now been under the skin of pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Certainly,
yeah.
At least in the modern, but I know you've got an eye for things.
Yeah.
So what was... I mean, what was your poster car? Or what would be now, when you look back, you think, what's the ultimate hypercar? No, without being bound to an era.
For some reason, it's always been the Murcielago, but... Like, the Porsche 918s, I love them. Any, like, Koenigsegg or something like that, I've never sat in one of them, I've just looked at them and think, well, this is just ridiculous, and I'm never going to be able to ever afford one, so I've never paid any interest to it. But the more I think about it, the more I think I'd love to get my hands on one of them and work out if they are as prestigious as everyone makes out, yeah. Since, like, I always used to think Lamborghinis are one of the most expensive and prestigious cars, and once you start working on them, you find... Oh, well, this thing's off a Volvo, this thing's off a Ford.
There's lots of Audi parts. Not...
Yeah, there's Audi parts on it, and then we could cross-reference a lot of stuff and save a lot of money. Our Koenigsegg's going to be like that, or like the Zondas or Paganis, and that is, are all they going to be the same out of a parts bin like the Lamborghinis are? And I'll be interested to find that out.
I don't think they are, but you're the one that would find out,
yeah.
For sure.
Exactly. You need a lot of money to find out, though, that's the issue.
So I put a dent in one and I had a look inside it, and it looked, you know, it had Koenigsegg written on it still. So yeah. I think Christian is definitely doing his home knitting.
Oh, I'd love to get my hands on one, but like I say, most of the hypercars, once they get a smash or something like that, because of the value of them, either the main dealer would just repair them and put them back on the road, or they're completely written off and they don't get put back on the road because they don't want anybody else to repair them, like myself, like a DIYer to, oh, here's a Koenigsegg, he's rebuilding it in a shed in Leicester and putting it back on the road. They don't want that. So it's either main dealer or it's a no-go. So it's so hard to get hold of. But if I put it out there, who knows?
It's possible.
Who knows?
So this looks great. So when is this guy going to be finished?
So it's going to the body shop next, and that quarter panel, the bumpers and everything have got to be painted. We've got a few aftermarket parts to go on to it. Of course, it's going to be tuned. We're going to try and get some more power out of it.
So what are you going to increase it by?
Honestly, I have no idea, because they're quite new, these ones. So I know I have to send the ECU off to be unlocked. I think you can get to around 700, 750 horsepower, which is going to be insane for a BMW M3. You can switch it between four-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive, which I think I'm going to enjoy that, because I generally just like rear-wheel drive cars. It's just a bit leery, keep you awake. But when we're on track and we're against Ben, it seems that four-wheel drive was a lot faster.
Four-wheel drive, and I think his tyres helped him.
Yes, you know. I think so, yeah.
Plus,
I think
if maybe I'd done one more lap without going in the gravel.
Maybe, yeah, I think we could probably have got it.
I just want to say again, I'm sorry about that.
we got great content out of it.
You're the first person I've met where I've driven something, made a mistake, and just gone, it would have been even better if you crashed it. Really? I wasn't so sure.
But I think it would be more hilarious if we can beat Ben in his Huracan with the BMW M3, because this is a BMW M3, and he's got hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of a Lamborghini Huracan. It'd be more funny. I could even sit in the back in this one, and we could go around the track.
What's his power output in that? He's got.
They're like, are they 610 horsepower? I think. Four-wheel drive.
Big wide. It's got wide tyres. It's a lot. Yeah. The reason it was quick at Teesside. It's a lot of rubber, and he had the stickier tyre, for sure.
Yeah, and I watched, so I overlaid the two laps of your lap and Ben's lap, and Ben, his car was insanely stable. So it went into a corner, hands like that, unwind the hands, straight out, into another corner, like that. With the McLaren, both of us, we're like, whoa. It's keeping that car straight
was
impossible. Yeah, so I'm hoping this will be more stable. It's going to be heavier than Ben's, but it's all about, I think his is a naturally aspirated car. This one's got turbos. That might not play to an advantage with us getting out the corners with turbo lag, but if we can keep it high up in the revs, it will be interesting. But I'd love to beat him in this.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a few little extra advantages we could sew into it. Maybe a wet track.
Yes.
Obviously, you can't book the rain, but unless we book a Bowser, it's possible.
We could potentially do that. But yeah, that would be interesting. But I think if we're going to beat him, this would be a fun car to beat him.
Definitely.
And give him a go.
Yeah, we'll get some sticky tyres. And so you're not far away. And will you do suspension as well?
Or yeah, so we've got suspension to add on to it. We've got exhaust, we've got different wheels, tyres, and What else? We've got all the induction kit, the usual stuff. We're not going too crazy with it, but just the general like OEM plus modifications just to improve it the best we can. But yeah, have a full setup, and I think we'll have the best chance we've got in this with that four-wheel drive. But I don't know how they drive. I honestly don't know how these drive. And the older ones drove brilliantly. I had an M4 and that drove amazing.
They are amazing. For me, there was a seminal moment in 2007. I can't remember, get the models wrong. Was it 92? The E92?
E92, yeah, the V8, yeah.
When that came out, for me, it was like a transformation. The whole company changed.
Oh, yeah.
It went from a heavy lump with a heavy lump in the front and
the
thing wasn't very well supported to a really proper...
The good cars. I can't wait to get it on the road. So it'd be interesting to see how this one drives, because it is. I think it's heavier than the older ones, but it would be because it's four-wheel drive now and not. It's got the diff, it's got the drive shafts coming out the front and everything. But is that going to help it? We'll find out.
Be exciting.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much time you spend doing it, because you're working day and night on these cars to get them done, aren't you?
Yeah. So we're here, so I'll start late, 11 o'clock, but then I'll finish 12, 1 in the morning, because once you come in here, it's like a time capsule. We shut the doors, you don't know what time it is, and I'll just work till it's finished.
And no clock on the wall?
No clock on the wall. We just we just crack on until I'm literally cannot lift a spanner anymore, or the job's done. But I think, because I enjoy it, you don't really... I'm not watching the clock to go home. I just want to get the car done because I really enjoy doing it. I mean, as I said, there's moments where it stresses you out, but the feel of getting the car done overpowers that stress. So, I enjoy it. And until I stop enjoying it, I'll be here till late at night, early hours of the morning, so...
I just admire your fearlessness. I think it's amazing how much knowledge you've acquired in such a short space of time. Bending metal, re-engineering the engine, suspension, the lot. But is there anything you think you've done it, you put all that effort and work in, and then you get it out in your hands and think this is it's disappointing, or do you just think, do you know what, I learned from that, it's fine.
So the BMW M5 was one car that I was slightly disappointed of. Everyone thought, this is an amazing car, and spent a lot of time building up, got really excited to drive it, and I think they are good cars. They're really fast, they're good for, I can see why people enjoy them, but I just never got the connection with that car. Like, it was one of them cars that you could be doing like over 100 mile an hour in, and it feels like you're doing 30 because it was so planted. But that was one car that kind of like I never got the attachment to.
So by the third day, you're out.
I enjoyed building it, but driving it, not as much then. Yeah. Because I don't have that attachment, I just found myself not driving it as much. I was like, I'll take another car. And then in the end, we did a competition for that car, and it was raffled off. And somebody else is enjoying the car now, the winner of the competition. But I can see why people love them, but that was just one car that I thought was going to be great, but it just never lived up to my expectation. Everything else I've done, I've loved. Porsche's gone over my expectations. I never thought I'd like them that much. But
so maybe you're a sort of Colin Chapman in the waiting, because you just, it's the weight that maybe is what you don't like. You like lightweight, good handling.
Yeah, I think that might be it, actually, now you've said about it. Yeah, I think it could be the weight. Yeah, it's the lightweight, I like to throw it around, like the McLaren. Yeah. I love that car. That thing is just because it tries to kill you. That's what I like about it.
I was asking the boys about that, and I'm amazed you guys haven't coined a name for it, because it's got its own personality. Like, I definitely think it does what it wants. We were arguing about, I said, it has to have more boost. No, it doesn't. Something's happening. Something is like talking through the chassis. There's an electric current and it's changing.
Yeah, it's that thing is nuts. It's got its own personality, that thing. But I like those cars that try and kill you, keep you on your toes. I like that type of stuff. So I think maybe it is heavy cars, maybe not the ones for me, but I guess we'll find out. I might find a heavy car, which I do like.
Yeah, love it. Well, when I finish my Lancia, I'd love to show it to you, see what you think. The Tank Barrett's done I think it's a great job. We've made subtle changes with it, sort of bit of input from me about how we're going to adapt the suspension to try and keep it real, like as it was back in the day, without overdoing it.
So. Yeah, because I imagine that's going to be quite hard as well. Before I did all this, I worked at like a Ford performance place, and they used to do like Sierra Cosworth and the Escort Cosworth. And because a lot of they were everyone back in the day used to modify them, lower them on springs and everything
and
like that.
And spoil it.
And that, yeah, and now they're worth more standard. Yeah. So, but to get the standard parts are no longer available. So what the guys where I used to work used to do is make the like standard springs, and they had to make them look like standard. But then you're trying to keep still the ride as good as it would if it was like a little bit sporty, because back in the day, I mean, the ride height was so high.
And they let them
really
move.
Boaty. Yeah, yeah. Customers used to call us up and say, this is definitely doesn't look like standard height. It's way high at the back. It was like, look at a photo of one standard, how they come out of a factory, and they had arch gap like that. That is literally how they were. But yeah, it's shocking to kind of see what they used to come out like. But yeah, I guess you have that balance with the Lancia. See,
they're cool though. They just ride on velvet. So at least, so the spring and damper it came on originally, it lasted a few miles. Got to feel what that was like. But when we pulled it off, the rubber and everything literally fell apart in your hand.
I can imagine.
You know that the shims and stuff inside are going to be melted. So with its last dying breath, we're going to try and get it. We're trying to get it dynoed.
Yeah.
Find out what it is and then replicate it.
Yeah. So yeah. No, it makes sense.
See if it works.
No, all that stuff's so interesting. I think it's good fun.
Wicked. Thanks for showing me around.
No.
It's an amazing insight, and can't wait to drive this and smoke Benedict.
Family. We've got it. Yeah, we've all got it.
Brilliant, Matt. Thank you for being a legend. Keep doing what you do, and see you on the next episode. Hopefully, we'll be out on track on his channel at some point as well.